Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, everybody. Oh, God. Hello, everybody. Good. Oh, God, I can't get it out. Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news. I'll explain that. That's a shock to me. I'll explain that in a moment. What are we going to talk about this morning? Well, we've got look, it's a big day for Manchester United. Manchester United against Real Sociedad in the Europa League. Also, a big update from Fabrizio Romano talking about Paul Pogba. We've also got interesting updates from ex-players. Roy Keane, Wayne Rooney talking about the stadium, talking about the state of this Manchester United side. And as well, we've got a story coming out from The Mirror that as much as 8 players could be leaving this summer. It really is potentially the end, but it really is final warning time for these players, obviously, tonight. Such a big, big game. Also got some transfer updates around Mainoo, Dalot, Gibbs White, De Winter of Genoa, and a few other bits as well. And did I say a big update from Fabrizio Romano on Paul Pogba? Thank you everyone for tuning in. Don't forget, you can listen to this on our Spotify United Stand page now. So if you got to pop out or anything like that, then you can give it a listen there. I'm in absolute agony. I didn't realise talking was going to do that. I can barely get the bloody oxygen out of my lungs. So basically, last night I missed the That's Football show because I was in hospital for a pre-arranged procedure, which shouldn't be too hindering, but I was up a lot last night with it. Stitches in my stomach, and I'm definitely not Terry Neville. And whilst it's painful to get around, sitting down doesn't hurt, but I've just realised that talking normally in your family is not the same as the way I talk when I do a show, because I project my voice. So I'm sort of trying to find, it's a bit like running when you've got a bad hamstring. I'm sort of trying to find the pace I can talk where it doesn't hurt. So that was why the start was a little bit lackluster. Apologies for that. But I think I've found a level now. So if I just do this, I'll be absolutely fine. Just Keevan's in hospital at the moment. We'll get well there. Where is it? I've got 6 stitches right below the belly button. So imagine that. It's just very restrictive and it really hurts. But look, you know, there's people in worse positions. Let's get into the show. Lots to talk about. Where shall we start? Well, we'll start with an absolutely massive game tonight, and nothing's keeping me away from that watch along unless it gets infected and I have to go into hospital. But seriously, nothing is going to keep me away. Nothing's going to keep you away. 8 o'clock tonight. Our season depends on this. But so much more depends on this as well. The Mirror this morning talking of 8 players that could be leaving this summer. And when you look at that list, and I'll read it out to you, I don't necessarily, there's only one player I really agree with, which is disagree with. So then basically the list coming in is Antony, yes. Sancho, yes. Rashford, yes. Casemiro, yes. Eriksen, yes. Johnny Evans, yes. Tom Heaton, yes. Lindelof, yes. So that's 7 I would agree with, which is considerable, isn't it? Which is why when people talk about people like Dalot or Onana or even Erasmus, I just don't see it, because there will be 7 first team players going this summer. Antony, Sancho, Rashford, Casemiro, Eriksen, Evans, Heaton, Lindelof. That's significant. You're just not going to go more than that. It does include Mason Mount in there, but I do not include Mason Mount in there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I don't include Mason Mount in that. I don't think for 1 minute Mason Mount, Luke Shaw, I don't see these players going. But I think that, look, significant change has to happen in the summer. I'll bring this in here. I saw Wayne Rooney has been speaking about Manchester United, and he basically said there's no way back for this Manchester United side. He's seen enough. There's no way back. The only 2 players he would keep would be Bruno and Mainoo, which I'd sort of say, why only 2? I think that's a little bit melodramatic. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, maybe that's why he's failed in management. You can't just look at a team and say, let's get rid of 23 players. It's just not going to happen. Now, maybe he's talking about the next 5 years, but I mean, Bruno will be gone in 5 years, so that doesn't even make sense. I mean, look, I'll answer that question. If I'm looking at this team and I'm saying, who am I keeping? Well, yeah, at the moment I'm keeping Bruno. I'm certainly keeping Mainoo. I'm keeping Garnacho. I'm keeping Ugarte. I'm keeping De Ligt. I'm keeping Mazraoui. Hopefully Martinez will come back. I'm keeping Dorgu. I'm keeping Ahmad. You know, the list, it's not as stupid as I'd only keep Mainoo and Bruno. I think that's melodramatic nonsense. And I don't think it helps the question. Lenny Yoro's another one as well. I mean, I'm just doing it off the top of my head. So there will be a few more as well. And I still have hopes for the likes of Xerxes and Rasmus and Collier. And there are other players that I still have hopes for. So I don't think it's that dramatic to go, oh, I'd get rid of everybody. There's no way back. But what I do agree with tonight is that if we lose tonight, if we win tonight, in the summer, there's got to be big change. And I think Amrin will want that. But I think the interesting thing for me is that, you know, you listen to Rooney saying that. Somebody else said it at the weekend. I can't remember who it was. I think Gary Neville said it, actually. Obviously, I don't hold Rooney's opinion or Gary Neville's opinion over you. You lot have been saying it for months, if not years. This team needs breaking down. Ralph Rangnick said it 3 years ago. So it's not breaking news, but what it does do is that people are still saying it. Like Wayne Rooney said it today. Gary Neville said it at the weekend. Many of you said it months or years ago. Ralph Rangnick said it years ago. This team needs breaking down. And the question will have to be, do you believe that a Glazer-owned Manchester United, whether Sir Jim has a percentage or not, will actually do that? And I think that that's going to be the big thing. I mean, football is very simple, isn't it? We look at this game tonight. I think we can win. I'm very excited about it. But I also look at the future of the football club. And if we look, the way I look at it is this. If we manage to win the Europa League, which is a big if, does it solve any problems? And I think this is a great way of looking at it, even though it's my opinion. If we win the Europa League, does it solve our problems? No. Did the FA Cup solve our problems? No. It was a get out of jail free card. Now stay out of jail. But we're back in jail again. We're back in jail. This time last year, we're in jail and we're like, how do we get out? And somebody handed us a card and it was Ten Hag and the team and the FA Cup who did remarkably well in that game against Man City. We're back in jail again. And we're going, can we get out? Can we have another one? Can we have another miracle, please? And the thing is, if we win the Europa League, we're no better than we were a year ago. You've got to actually take the opportunity. Now, we didn't take the opportunity last summer and Ten Hag got sacked. If Amrin manages to win this Europa League, we're not suddenly a good team. That's where I do agree with Rooney or Neville or you or Rangnick, is that if we manage to win this Europa League, there will be ups and downs. There will be luck. There will be close shaves. And we will. And if we win it, we win it. But you've then got to take that as a warning and go, we're not on track. You know, we're not on track. We need to do a lot of work. Morning, Mark. Hope you're doing well. Rooney and Bruno, Mainoo and the youngsters. He would get rid of 10 to 15 players. Keep up the great work. But what youngsters, Christian? De Ligt's not a youngster. Mazraoui's not a youngster. Ugarte's not a youngster. Xerxes not a youngster. I mean, I think he's writing off five or six players that aren't young. And I don't agree with that. And look, do you want to agree with Rooney or do you want to agree with me? And I'm not saying, I mean, Rooney's a legend, but what I'm saying is the problem's not that deep. I think sometimes we get melodramatic and go, oh, we need absolutely to clear everybody out. Look at Liverpool's squad. They're going to win the league. Are you telling me that that squad is perfect? You know, they're the best team in the league. You look at Fulham, they're better than us. It's not, you know, there's players in that team that can get us into top four without clearing it out. Now, you might want to do that over the next 5 to 10 years, but in the short term, you've got to get in the top four. De Ligt can get you in the top four. Ugarte can get you in the top four. Mazraoui can get you in the top four. These players have played really well for us. So what I'm saying is that for me, forget who's going. I think those seven players we're talking about are going to go. But for me, it's about who you're going to bring in as well. We need five or six players that can challenge for first team spots. And I would be building around the like, and I want a goalkeeper, but and I want a right-sided wing back or whatever. And I wouldn't mind another one as well. but and I need another centre back. But I'm happy to work with the likes of Delips. We've got Maguire for another year. I'm happy to work with Mazraoui. We've got Yoro. Hopefully Martinez comes back. So that's four or five centre backs in the midfield. I'm happy to work with Mainu, Bruno, Ugarte, Collier. Let's bring a couple in. Number 10, I'm happy to work with Ahmad, Garnacho, forget Mount. So I need another one or two in there as well. And I need another striker. So it's not completely clear out is what I'm trying to say. Talking about midfield, though, I will be a bit all over the place, but we will cover everything. And I loved what Roy Keane said, actually, about Gary Neville's interview. Now, I don't know with Roy Keane. He's a poker face player. He was a poker face player and he's a poker face pundit. But he said something really interesting about the interview that Gary Neville did with Sir Jim Ratcliffe in the stadium. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Fabrizio Romano has given quite a big update in relation to Paul Pogba. Now, I will get your thoughts on this. What he's basically said is, despite rumours, etc., there is no agreement or talks between Manchester United and Paul Pogba at the moment. However, Paul Pogba is open to opportunities. Now, I didn't read the replies to that from Fabrizio Romano, but I'm going to give you my honest opinion. That sounds like a PR piece to me. It sounds like no update. And look, I'm only reading it because it's a morning show. It's not a vasectomy, Victor. If I was having a vasectomy, I'd have huge balls because the stitches are below my tummy button by about an inch. So, you know. But nice try. I'm struggling here, mate. I can hardly breathe. Right, the point I want to make about Pogba and Romano, and don't make me laugh. Don't anybody start doing analogies or jokes because I'll literally cry if I laugh. I can't laugh. I've got to be serious. Anyway, so let me get on with it. Paul Pogba, Fabrizio Romano. No talks with Paul Pogba, but he's open to opportunities. That's Fabrizio Romano's update. That, to me, is Paul Pogba's not got any options, or Paul Pogba wants an option from Manchester United. I don't even know the context of it. To me, it's just strange how Man United fans are sort of jumping on it, going, oh, maybe in the international break. The update I think I gave last week from good sources close to the club is, why would we spend 150 grand a week minimum on Paul Pogba for 3 months when we didn't go and buy a striker in January because we haven't got any money? And we haven't got any money until the end of June because of FFP and PSR. That's the stance of Manchester United. So this Paul Pogba update, I would sweep it under the carpet and say, to me, it just looks like Paul Pogba wants better offers because he's available to play in the next few days. Would I bring Paul Pogba back? I don't think we're going to need him, to be honest. I don't think we are going to need him. I think we needed him more 2 weeks ago when Ugarte was injured and we didn't know whether Casemiro could do okay. But to be fair, Casemiro's done okay. I mean, he's nowhere near a 350k a week, Casemiro, but he's done okay. Mainu's going to be back after the international break. Collier's back now and Ugarte's back now. So we don't need Paul Pogba. So, yeah, I would move on from that one and not really expect much. What I would say, though, on transfers, just to sort of hit on what we were talking yesterday, more stories this morning about Bayern Munich and Dalot. I think I might have got it wrong yesterday because I mentioned Conte. Conte's an admirer of Dalot, but I think it was actually Real Madrid and Bayern Munich that are interested in Dalot. So maybe I'd read Conte as company, but... They, Bayern Munich are apparently interested in Dalot. Look, that's going to wet some people's whistle. That's going to get some people excited. But I don't think that I'll stick to what I said yesterday. I don't think Dalot is available. I don't think Amorim is looking to sell Dalot. And I don't think Dalot will go anywhere. And if you've tuned in a little bit late, seven players that are going to be leaving Manchester United this summer: Anthony, Sancho, Rashford, Casemiro, Eriksen, Evans, Heaton, Lindelof. So I don't see Dalot going. I don't see Mason Mount going. I don't see Onana going. I don't see Rasmus going. I think those seven players are going to occupy Man United with slow at deals. Antony is a negotiation. Sancho is a negotiation. Rashford is a negotiation. Casemiro is a negotiation. Evans, Heaton, Lindelof, Eriksen, they're going for free. But we're going to have to negotiate the Casemiro deal, the Rashford deal, any Antony deal, and potentially a Sancho deal if Chelsea send him back. So we're not going to have time to sign four or five players and move those seven players on and do other business. So I don't see Delo going. Now, obviously, we did the poll yesterday. I think 70% would like to see Delo go, but I don't see it happening. And look, I think even the most harshest of critic has to admit that Rome was not built in a day. Now, I think this ownership has its issues, well documented, but you can't sell 11 players and buy 8 players in one summer. You can't do 19 deals in one summer. I think the pace in which Man United work, the fact that every club in the world knows that we're struggling, they'll under-offer and overcharge. I think this makes things longer anyway. We're slow anyway. We might have to sell to buy anyway. So I think that I think we'll do well to move those seven players on and bring three or four in. Look, you know what? Free transfers and cheap players can supplement it. But significant deals, I'll be surprised if we do more than three. And when I say significant, you know, players that you go, ooh, you know, De Ligt's, Ugarte's, Yoro's, I'd be very surprised if we do more than three. Could we, my first game since Sir Alex left, hoping for a win, says Daniel Winstanley. Buddy, oh, that's a long wait. Hopefully you're a lucky charm, mate. Nick Stevens says, could we add the Glazers and Sir Jim to that list of seven players to get rid of? Seriously, though, it's hard to stay positive for the future. Let's just stay positive for tonight. Keel says he wants Soleimani and Jobe Bellingham. Patrick Lynch says, after Liverpool, PSG, it is clear that we need a huge overhaul of the squad, not only for the Premier League, but if the ambition is to compete in Europe as well, recruitment over the next few summers is huge, says Patrick Lynch. Nice glasses, are they Pradas, says Annie. They are, yes. Just going back to Patrick Lynch's point there, I mean, there's no point talking about Qatar. And I'm not talking about Qatar in relation to the ownership of Manchester United. But what I do admire about PSG is that they beat Liverpool. What I do admire about PSG is that I don't know how you watch football, but I'm never going to... Look, I think Mo Salah is world-class. He's the best player in the Premier League, but he plays for our biggest rival. Pep Guardiola is a fantastic manager and he manages Man City. I'm not going to... As much as it's easy to do, I don't do that. I don't lie just because I don't like a certain club. PSG started to catch my eye when they beat Man City a few weeks ago. Over the two legs against Liverpool, I thought they were absolutely fantastic. They lack star quality of some clubs. You know, they don't have the stars of a Liverpool or a Man City or in the Europe, Bayern Munich or a... Barcelona or a Real Madrid. But what they really do have, and it is relevant to Manchester United, what PSG really do have is a fantastic coach, and we've all seen the clips of how he coaches them, that really, really believes in his style of play, and PSG have believed in it as well. And systematically, and team, squad, it works really, really well. So I think that if PSG can change their model of a decade and end up where... I know PSG played a Champions League final against Bayern Munich, 5 years ago? But where they are at the moment, I think this is one of the best PSG sides I've seen because they're a side. They're a team. Now, I don't know whether they'll win the Champions League, but in a way, I wouldn't mind them winning it because actually they're quite likeable as a team in relation to the way they play. Now, the off-field antics of whether you like that sort of ownership model is up to you. But I think that you can learn a lot from the way other clubs sort of find a way back. And PSG are probably won the bloody French League for the last 100 years. I don't know. But In Europe, I've never really felt that they were a threat, and they've always focused on this Neymar, Mbappe, even Messi model. But I just think that they're a well-coached team now with a different mentality about building a team, and we're miles off that as a football club. But it can be done. But to do that, you've got to dismantle and rebuild. And that's certainly, you know, I think I might have said it myself. When Neymar and Mbappe, when Mbappe went, because he was the last one, when Mbappe left PSG, I think I said it, that's that then. The project win the Champions League is gone. And yet, the first season without Mbappe, they look the best they've looked for years. It's about the team, it's about the structure, says Just Keeping. Focus to be on rebuilding the men's first team. This first team success is why we have global status. All non-profit ventures need to stop, such as the Women's FC. We return to success, says Dion. Controversial. I'd like Semenyo in the number 10 position. What's your opinion, says Frank. Mate, I think there's a lot of... I think you're talking about the right sort of players. I mean, look, I want to move on, but just very quickly, I think people are starting to understand the profile of what Amrin wants to do. And I think that when you look at behind the striker, and who knows who the striker will be next year, but when you look at behind the striker for Manchester United, it's not an Eriksen and it's not a Bruno really. It's a Semenyo, it's a Cliver, Bournemouth. It's that type of a player. It's that pacey, skillful, creative player. They're the players that are going to serve as well, which is why people like Ahmad are really important, and it's what he's trying to do with Garnacho. United fans need to boycott the club. We need Mexicans boycotted Coca-Cola ads. Is Glazers United now not Manchester anymore? Says Marcellino. Morning, Mark. Hope you're doing well. Rooney said Bruno, Mainoo and the youngsters, he would get rid of 10 to 15 players. Keep up the great work, says Christian. Mark, don't you think with the amount of players we should have enough room to spend in the summer with the players going, says Tony. You know what, Tony? Very, very quickly on that. Nobody can sit there and say we're going to be all right. And nobody can sit there and say we're fucked. And what I mean by that is that you just can't do the maths. There are people out there going, 40 million for Rashford, 25 million for Antony, Casemiro off the books, that's wages. Lindelof and Eriksen, that's wages. Maybe Mason Greenwood get a little bit of a bonus there. That's 90 million. You can buy 9 players worth £100 million and pay 10 million a year. But you can't. You know, that's just silly. So straight away, we owe £90 million this summer on transfers that we've paid before. So where's that money coming from? We also have to find money for debt interest as well. So where's that money coming from? It's really difficult to figure out what Man United can and can't do, which is why many of us look at, yes, you can sell Rashford, you can sell Antony. Yes, we can save some money on wages. But yes, there are massive costs to pay already. So where's another revenue stream? European football. And the only European football we can get is Champions League now, which is worth 80 million. So that to me is where it becomes that. I know it's a one-shot lottery and it's all about tonight, but I don't look at the sale of Rashford as helping us. I don't. I think that money gets swallowed up on repayments of other transfers, etc. I think the 80 million you'd earn from the Champions League compared to nothing if we don't win the Europa League, I think that's the sort of thing that helps us. Did you see Shaw in hospital? Speedy recovery, says Ryan. Oh, don't talk to me about bloody Luke Shaw. I mean, Mason Mount's back, but Luke Shaw, I mean, bloody Rodri's going to be back before Luke Shaw, isn't he? Just without the net, I quite like the outside of the stadium. Do you think it's just PR and not really planned, says David? We'll talk about that now. What do you think about Doué and Mendes, says Rajaf? I can understand. Look, I'm really happy with Dorgu, but let's not forget, he wasn't the first choice. Mendes was the first choice. But you know what? I'm not going to be critical about that because I'm really in pain. But no, I'm not going to be critical about that because Dorgu looks really good and is more for the future. I think Mendes was plan A and Dorgu was plan B. You're not always going to get plan A. A lot of the time at Man United, we don't get plan C. So I'm very happy with Dorgu, but Mendes was clearly plan A and you can see why. I think Mendes is ready to go, isn't he? Whereas Dorgu's probably going to be a little bit more, you know, it's going to take a little bit more time. But I like Dorgu, but you can see why he wanted Mendes. Vitinha the dictator, says King. I want Soleimani. We've done that one. And Ragaf says, Mark, please watch the overlap, particularly the United section. They were glazing Sir Jim Radcliffe and talked up the new stadium. I was going to talk about that anyway, mate. I just wanted to sort of get through some of the headline stuff first. Chelsea's been linked to just a bit of a roundup, actually. Chelsea linked to Mainoo again this morning. Man United also linked to right centre back De Winter of Genoa. I think he's Belgian. He's 22. Can play in a right side of a centre back three. Been linked to West Ham and Spurs, but just a couple. And Gibbs White's been linked to Manchester United as well. Obviously, this is just news stories, and we're heading into the March international break, where it's going to be interesting, the March international break, actually, because I can't lie. It bloody hurts. But we know the March international break is where the transfer stories start for the summer, legit. Whilst people are on international duty, a lot of football clubs are talking to agents. It's the last chance before the end of May, and you want to be ahead of that. So there is a lot of conversations that will take place in March. It'll be interesting because I wasn't the only one. There was a lot of people last March who did predictions on players that we were looking at. And I was looking at mine the other week, actually. But, I mean, some people were doing four or five names for each position and didn't get one in any of them. So I thought that was quite funny. And I quite like that nobody really knows what Man United are going to do. But we're certainly going to be, it's going to be an interesting March international break. And it'll be interesting to see what sort of names start to get leaked. But it doesn't mean they're the right ones. In relation to Gibbs White, forget it. I don't see that. I don't see Gibbs White at Manchester United. I think Gibbs White is a Forest player that they're probably going to be in the Champions League. He's English. You're talking 50 million straight away. We're not going to pay that sort of money. So I think Gibbs White is just, let's chuck Man United in there. And remember, the five strands of transfers will be coming out again very, very soon. But one of the strands are that, what, you know, five strands of why Man United's name is linked to a transfer. Well, one of those strands could be that you just add Man United in there to, you know, boost the profile of the transfer, which I think with Gibbs White is probably true. Chelsea and Mainoo, look, we'll have to just wait and see. What we do know from Mainoo's side is that he doesn't really understand the nonsense about his wages or why he'd even be leaving. So we know it's not coming from Mainoo's side. And in relation to De Winter for Genoa, don't know loads. I mean, I know he's a technically good right-sided centre back. Do we necessarily need that, or do we need a left-sided one? But look, again, we might just be being thrown in because Spurs, West Ham, and I think Brighton are linked to him. Who was the other one I mentioned? De Winter, Gibbs White, Mainoo. Just a few stories there. Marlo says they appointed Amrim knowing that everyone would talk about formations and being distracted from the real issues at the club, giving the leadership space to dismantle the club in the shadows, says Marlo. And Duma says, pain or not, here for the love of the game, thank you. We paid for Xerxes just to pay installments, says MT90. And David says, just without the net. I quite like the outside. We've done that one from David, haven't we? Okay, let's talk about what Keane and Neville and Rooney had to say about the stadium and the week that we've had at Manchester United. Did you see the Alvarez decision? I've got Loz on That's Football. We're putting a video out at midday, so that'll be on there. Don't worry about that. I think that what caught my eye in relation to what Roy Keane, when he was talking to Gary Neville about the stadium, was, and I don't know whether Roy Keane meant it in a sarcastic way or he actually legit meant it, but it was really funny. When he was asked about the stadium, Roy Keane said to Gary Neville, I tell you what, it was a good week for you, wasn't it? Interview on Monday, stadium announced on Tuesday. That's good PR. And I thought, you know what? Mic drop. If Roy Keane can see it. Like, it was complete and utter spin. Like, that was... protests on Sunday, interview on Monday, PR, stadium announcement on Tuesday. Now, what we've been told, and look, you can read it however you like, but what we've been told from very good sources is that the stadium images announcement wasn't meant to be happening until the end of the season.
They weren't going to do it until the end of May. And they brought it forward. Now, the theory is they brought it forward because of the protest. Now, look, I don't take any bit of information after 10 years of doing this. I don't do any of this without scrutiny. And I think that what I would say is that I understand why they would have waited for the end of the season to do it. Because if you do it at the end of the season, imagine we get knocked out of Europe. And imagine people are really angry. When you announce that stadium, rightly or wrongly, look at the reaction. Excitement, a few detractors, but loads of excitement. Basically, the minute they announced that new stadium and they put the pictures out, a lot of people who were Glazers out jumped on the Glazer train inadvertently. I don't think they realise they've done it, but they're like, oh yeah, this is amazing. So they always had that in the back of their mind that whenever they announced that, it sort of like gives them a bit of a boost. So the fact that they did it on Tuesday obviously shows that the protests on Sunday were a bit of a problem for them. I listened to what Keane said, and he was like, yeah, looks like a good stadium. Ian Wright's not an ex-Man United player, but he said, yeah, it looks really, really good. None of them said it looked bad, which is funny, really, because if you look in the Man United fan base, I think it's about 50-50. Gary Neville even said, I know it's not as important as the football side, but for me, it almost is, having a stadium like that. He's got every right to say that. But what has massively disappointed me on a personal note is that we do need to build a new stadium. Exactly, we do. I'm not going to dispute the fact that we were going to build a new stadium. But nobody, it seems, and it really is frustrating, nobody with a voice like a Roy Keane or a Gary Neville, well, he won't, but or a Sir Alex Ferguson, nobody has actually acknowledged the disgrace around this. Let's all agree we need to build a new stadium, right? And I've said this months ago. I hate this, but I'm a realist, right? Old Trafford needs renovating or knocking down, okay? That's the scenario. If you renovate Old Trafford, where are you going to play while you do it? And it's going to take 5 years. So where are you going to play for 5 years while Old Trafford's being renovated? That's a massive problem. If you build a new stadium, you can play in Old Trafford till the day the new stadium opens. And that's it, mic drop. You know, that's it. That's why Old Trafford's not getting regenerated, because these are business people. Gary Neville's a business person. Sir Jim Ratcliffe's a business person. And you're talking hundreds of millions of pounds of loss if we renovate Old Trafford and go and play somewhere else for 5 years. So we were always, always going to knock Old Trafford down. I accept it. I don't want it, but I accept from a business point of view, this is the right way to do it. But why is it that nobody, and I don't see, maybe their brain hasn't figured it out, because you're not protecting Sir Jim here. Why is it that nobody is saying, look, I accept we have to build a new stadium, but can we look at why we have to build a new stadium? Can we look at Anfield and how they're not building a new stadium, even though it's an old stadium, because their owners have looked after it, renovated it, expanded it? We're building a new stadium and we're knocking Old Trafford. I mean, I cannot explain to you. Our offices look over Old Trafford. Our studio looks over Old Trafford. Every time I go to the studio in a certain period of time, I'm going to have to watch them for a year knock Old Trafford down. That's going to be really, really difficult. And I accept we've got to build a new stadium, but what I don't accept is why we're getting this media cover-up of truth. You can want the new stadium, you can like the new stadium, but it doesn't mean people shouldn't be saying it's a disgrace that we need a new stadium, because the Glazer, Project Glazer, and I think it was a project, I think this from the bottom of my heart, I think they've been planning this for at least a decade. There is no way 15 years ago, in 2010, when Old Trafford needed a bit of work, definitely. There's no way in 2010 somebody didn't say to the Glazers, we probably should expand here and deal with this issue here. And I'm absolutely convinced that they were like, no, the plan is to knock it down and build something new. And I think that's really sad that people don't acknowledge that. You can have your new stadium. I'm not criticising you liking your new stadium, but people need to realise that we actually didn't need to do it if they actually not run it into the ground on purpose. It's like those people who like burn their pub down for the insurance claim. I think this is what the Glazers have done. They've purposely let Old Trafford rot and rust so that they can get their new stadium. And I don't know why people don't acknowledge that, because that's not protecting Sir Jim. That's not protecting Gary Neville. That's exposing the Glazers, which is surely what we're all about. So that's my only disappointment. I don't know how the likes of Roy Keane and Gary Neville, etc., and Sir Alex Ferguson can just talk about, oh, what an amazing stadium it is, and then not actually talk about why we're having to do it, which is these absolute arsehole mercenaries who bought our football club on debt purposely let the Theatre of Dreams drown. And that's, I don't understand why people won't talk about it, because you can still be positive about a new stadium, but it doesn't mean you can't be angry about what the Glazers have done to that, to our iconic stadium. I also was listening to that, what they had to say, and one point that Roy Keane did make that was very good was that he listened to the Sir Jim Ratcliffe interview. It's interesting. Roy Keane's almost on the same page as me here, which isn't, you know, I do like Keane, but not always on the same page. He basically said that he was listening to the interview. He found parts of it interesting, but when he was talking about the football, he switched off because he didn't sound like he knew what he was on about, which is exactly what I said. And so have you said as well. And he also said that I didn't really like the fact that he protected the Glazers, to which Gary Neville jumped in and said, well, he did indirectly have a pop at the Glazers, and in business you can't really have a pop at the Glazers. Well, which one is it, mate? He didn't have a pop at the Glazers, and it was a little bit disappointing to hear Gary say, you know, in business you can't do that. Well, and there endeth the lesson, isn't it? I wouldn't get into bed with the Glazers. Maybe Gary would. I wouldn't get into bed with the Glazers. It's hypocritical. You can't criticise the Glazers for 10 years and then go, oh yeah, but Sir Jim can't criticise them because they're in a business together. I mean, what does that even mean? So if you're in a business with somebody and you don't like them, you can't criticise them, and that's fine. Maybe don't get into business with them. Maybe have some moral principles. I think the bottom line here is that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is protecting the Glazers, whether you like that or not, he is. And Roy Keane's right, he should be held accountable for that. You can't just say, well, I'm tired of people going, well, you can't criticise Sir Jim Ratcliffe for protecting the Glazers because, you know, he's a shareholder, he can't do it. Like, it's like he's been kidnapped and he, you know, he's being held hostage. And if you look at his eyes, he hates, I mean, there actually are people who do this. You know, you can tell he hates them, but he can't say it. Oh, yeah, I can genuinely tell he hates them. He's given them 1.2 billion. He constantly talks about what nice people they are, and they're working together for the next 15 years. Yeah, he bloody hates them, doesn't he? I mean, nobody's twisted his arm behind his back and said, go and buy Man United and work with the Glazers. I just think that's such a nonsense. Oh, that, you know, it's a business decision. You know, you can't blame him for not criticising the Glazers. We can blame him. We can blame him for saving the Glazers, and we can blame him for working with the Glazers, Gary, thank you. And as somebody that's criticised the Glazers for the last few years and never shut up about them, now you won't. Now you're going, well, it's business, we can't do that. Well, you know, business is not morals, is it? Business is work. Morals is who you are. And he should be criticising them more. And if he can't criticise them, the key thing for me is what I was getting to is, even if you believe that Sir Jim Ratcliffe doesn't like the Glazers and he can't criticise them publicly because of a business decision, does that not worry you that people wearing the trousers are the Glazers? Because even if you think Sir Jim Ratcliffe doesn't like the Glazers and he just can't say anything about them, well, he's done a stupid deal then, isn't he? Because he's clearly got no fucking power. If he can't criticise the Glazers as part of this deal, then we really are shit. Up Shit's Creek. Patrick Lynch says, one thing I found hard to believe that only Ian Wright was the one that really pushed home how bad the Glazers were for United is Patrick. I don't think Roy actually cares, if I'm being honest. I don't think Roy Keane's got a great relationship with Man United anymore because of Sir Alex Ferguson and how it ended. And he's openly said he's not a Man United fan. I think Gary Neville is a businessman first. And Rooney... I mean, Rooney, is he really a spokesman on the part of Man United? Whereas I think Ian Wright probably looks at it as somebody and goes, you know, sometimes you can get sense. Look, we've always said this. Let's bring it back to football. Who gives you the most sense? The Man United fan who has got pictures of Fellaini on his wall and loves it when he gets picked, or the Liverpool fan who says, I'll love it if Fellaini plays today because he's shit. Who are you going to listen to? The United fan who's just got a player FC for Fellaini, or the Liverpool fan who's saying, I hope Fellaini plays because he's shit. I'd probably listen to the Liverpool fan because sometimes you do get sense from rival fans. Like, you know, when they're saying keep Ten Hag forever, I did start to think, I did this with Liverpool when they had Roy Hodgson. I was devastated when he got sacked. I wanted them to keep Hodgson forever. And you do get sense from rival fans. So when Ian Wright's looking at it and saying about the Glazers, you know, sometimes, not all the time. I mean, you listen to some of these prats like Tim Sherwood and stuff, you wouldn't, you know, just nonsense. But sometimes you can. Marcellino says, I don't know a new stadium players manager. We're also going to be ass under the Glazers, says Marcellino. Sorry, I'm just catching up here. Marcellino's a new member of the club. Welcome to the members club. Don't forget, by the way, I just keep seeing that next to me. I think I said it at the start. If you want to listen to our morning shows every day, out and about on the walk or in your car or in the gym, we are on Spotify now. A lot of people ask for this, so make sure you scan the QR code or go to United Stand on Spotify, support it and give us a follow, and we'll keep uploading it. Imagine the crest, Man United Business Club, says Anders. Thank you very much. And will ownership try a PR spin as planning on building a new stadium as a marquee summer signing, says Matthew James. Look, I certainly... I don't really want to talk massively about the finances around the stadium because we've got such a big game for Manchester United tonight. But the only financial thing we should be worried about goes hand in hand with football. If we win the Champions League, we'll have more money to spend in the summer and the club will be in a better position. I think too much... But sadly, Man United has become a game of monopoly. I genuinely think we've got fans who are more interested in the finances than the team. And we never used to give a shit about the finances, really. But that's what has happened with United. But I think it's a fact that we will ultimately have to treat the new stadium as a new signing because that's what they're doing. The thing they did on Tuesday was like, you know, we may as well got the stadium to play a piano because it's not even been built. We don't even know when it's going to get built. But I wouldn't be surprised if they release another one in June with the new stadium wearing the new shirt. Like it is going to be the big, you know, I think every time something goes bad again, we'll get another angle of the new stadium. So I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but I do think that they're going to use that and they're going to need you to buy into it because when we're not buying players in the summer, it will be, remember, we've got to build the fancy fan dabby dozy new stadium, you know? And I think that is clearly coming down the line. I think Berada hinted at it and I think Sir Jim did as well. Marlo, hope you're doing well, says they appointed Amrim knowing that everyone would... We've done that one from Amrim about the formation as well. Thank you very much. Just on the cost of the stadium, by the way, you'll notice that I haven't massively spoken about it because I actually don't, I think it's a bit of a smokescreen. Just be careful about being distracted. A lot of people are saying how we're going to pay for the stadium. It's valid, but remember, we're still in £1 billion of debt regardless. I wouldn't even massively think about the stadium because I know what they'll do. They will secure investment loans on low interest deals like Spurs did and Arsenal did. And then they'll go, you know what? Actually, we're not going to be paying that much off for the next 10 years. I mean, you still are paying something, but they'll go, you know what? It's only going to cost us about £20 million a year to build the stadium. And we're going to make £100 million a year. So I wouldn't even get too stressed because you'll get distracted. Like, the stadium will get built like Spurs built theirs and Arsenal built theirs and we'll actually be able to forecast paying for it, like 100%. we can build that stadium and have it paid off in 10 years. So the stadium, I wouldn't worry too much about where the money's coming from and how we're going to pay for it. I think it's going to impact transfer budgets. I'd worry about that. But we'll find a way of paying for that stadium that we can pay for it. The real focus should be it's more debt on top of a more worrying debt. So the stadium will pay for itself eventually. But when are we paying off the 700 million that we have to pay 30 million a year in interest on? That ain't going anywhere. And this is what I mean about Glazernomics. They'll make you worry about the stadium. Then they'll tell you how they're paying the stadium off. And you'll go, ooh, and you'll forget about the 700 million where we're paying 30 million a year on debt interest. That's the real quiz in my mind, because that's the one that's killing us. I don't mind taking out, I suppose this is a good point. I don't mind taking on debt for something we need. So if Mrs. Goldbridge says we need a car, it's going to cost us 300 quid a month. I'll do it if we've got the money because we need a car. It's debt. It's going to take us a few years to pay it off, but we need the car and we'll use the car. So I don't mind taking on debt to buy players. I don't mind taking on debt to build an amazing stadium because it's going to end up with something for us. So people moaning about the debt for the stadium, I get it, but we'll end up with the stadium. The real quiz is the debt that we have, the significant debt that never goes down, that costs us 30 million a year in debt interest, that we got nothing for. That 700 million that we're in debt that absolutely destroys this football club, over a billion in interest payments, we got nothing for that. Well, we got the Glazers, and that's not going anywhere. So don't be wary about being distracted, because it's almost like we're being sucked into where's the money coming from for the stadium, but we will get a stadium. The debt's still going to be there, and nobody can tell me that paying £30 million a year in debt interest, remember we're still doing debt payments as well, so if you owe £700 million and you're paying interest on the debt, we're not taking, well actually there are no debt repayments, are there, because we don't reduce the debt, we just pay the interest. So £30 million a year. Sometimes 40 million, sometimes 50 million a year on debt interest. That's what kills us. Because that's players. That's players. How can Antonio nearly kick the bucket and still be back before Luke Shaw? Will GTA 6 be out before Luke Shaw? I think bloody GTA 7 will be out back before Luke Shaw. I mean, look, Luke Shaw's. I mean, do we need to talk about Luke Shaw? I said this about Mason Mount. And I want to be proven wrong here. I really want to be proven wrong, but and it always will be about opinion, but I don't think Mason Mount will provide you with any satisfaction. I don't. Even if he comes back for 2 months, I still think he'll be injured at some point. Luke Shaw even more. I think Luke, if you think Mason Mount's injury prone, I think Luke Shaw's done. The guy's barely played in 18 months. So, Michael says, you were Luke Shaw FC. I've never been anybody FC, mate. You're a child. There's a difference between calling him fat and useless and saying, I actually think he's one of the best left-backs in Europe when he's fit. That's what I said. I don't deal in absolutes, and I don't think someone's shit because they're injured. I still think he's one of the best left-backs in Europe when he's fit. I wasn't Luke Shaw FC. I just didn't agree with people who called him fat and useless. I still think he's a good player, but he's never available. So it's massively frustrating. Right. Kyle says, Mark, I genuinely think the fans need to pressure Sir Jim into removing the debt. However it can be done, needs to be done. It cripples us and needs to get rid of it, says Kyle. I don't think Sir Jim's the guy to get rid of the debt, mate, because it's not his debt. It's the Glazers' debt. Love the show and the community, says Blase. Lovely seeing a lot of people bigging up Terry as well. I mean, Terry's now part of the United Stand, and that's football anyway. So I'm glad that you've taken to him, and we're doing lots of things together now anyway. So I think I'm starting something on his channel next week. So yeah, I mean, that was a bit of January transfer business that we did. So we've been working on it for a while. So yeah, he's going to be a permanent fixture as part of the United Stand now with Beth and everybody else. So yeah, very, very happy that everybody has taken to him, and I think the thing about Terry is, I was speaking to him last night, he's one of the few people out there, because it's a skill, who can sort of do what I do in a different way, but almost, you know, present from home sort of thing. Very good at it on his own. Most people, they're stream yarding, they're splitting screens and stuff. That's what I liked about Terry, and I've liked it for a long time. Even though we did rub each other up for a few years, not like that, but you know, it's a good addition, and I'm glad that people are getting on board with it. And we're both old school. Like, we've both been doing it for 10 years. Like, he's been doing football, Terry's, for 10 years. I've been doing this for 10 years. So we've matured. I think it's the start of a very good link up, which I'm very excited about. So I'm glad that you are as well. And covered me on That's Football last night, which I needed, because I was in absolute agony. Couldn't even go for a piss. 3 o'clock this morning, tried to go for a piss. And I was, you know, I don't know whether everyone's desperate for the toilet, but in absolute agony. Not in my cock, in my stomach. The debt will never be repaid under current owners, says Marcellino. No, it won't. Right, get yourselves ready for tonight. Going to be an absolute cracker. Manchester United against Sociedad, 8 o'clock. I've done my morning show. I'm going to get this That's Football video up, talking about the disgrace that was Atletico Madrid last night. And I'm going to get some rest this afternoon so that I'm ready to go. But this was sort of my fitness test, which I was always going to pass. But that first few seconds, I didn't realise I talk in a different way when I'm presenting. And it definitely affects my stomach in a different way. Right. Thanks everyone for watching. You are legends. Get ready for tonight. What a game. What a game tonight, eh? That's going to be absolutely incredible. I'm really excited about it. Also, I'm excited about the Dublin show. We've nearly sold out now. I think there's only about 25 tickets left. So if you want to be there, scan the QR code or it's in the live chat. It's going to be a brilliant night, and really looking forward to that next Wednesday in the international break. Obviously, if you want to listen, we're on Spotify as well. Take care, everyone. I'll see you later. Get ready.